tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM at 3:45 p.m. for the Grad Club pregame show. Ahead of the scheduled 4 p.m. kickoff.
You're listening to WIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. And it's time for Music to Talk. Thanks for listening to your community radio station based right here in Richmond and broadcasting to the whole universe out there, including you. So sending much love and strength to everyone out there. And I'm here with a special guest, Alex, also known as Brookhouse, the musician here. And we're going to have fun tonight. Really happy to have you here. Welcome. And feel free to say hello to everyone out there, just so they hear your voice, that I'm not making things up. And I actually have Brookhouse in the studio.
Yeah, you got it. Hi, Carl. And hi, world. It's good to be here.
Awesome. And you picked up a whole, pretty much a whole show's worth of music, which is awesome, because that gives me the opportunity to just sit back and listen to the stuff that you picked out. But really grateful for you coming in. And we're going to talk about your music today. We're going to talk about your influences and just basically what you have going on here, what you're doing here lately in Richmond. And that's going to be really fun. So we'll start that off in a couple minutes. I want to start off today with a song by, I guess, maybe the first rock and Espanol group that I ever really got into, partly because my guitar teacher, when I first started hearing them, was from Argentina. Shout out to the late, great Carlos Pozzi. But a friend of mine had gone to Peru and brought back two CDs, one by Soda Stereo and one by Aterciopelados from Colombia. But let's play this album by Soda Stereo, known as probably the biggest like stadium rock group of Latin America. Soda Stereo from Buenos Aires, Argentina. This is from their album Canción Animal, and the song is Sai el Sol. This, a chance to win two tickets to Nilufer Yanya on September 7th. I'll be announcing that right after this song.
Despertarme y al fin con vos volver a jugar.
So the next caller to 804-649-9737 will win a pair of tickets to see this artist who's playing on September 7th at the Broadberry. It's Nilufer Yanya.
This is Nilufer Yanya, and you're listening to WRIR 97.3 Richmond Independent Radio.
For Yanya and a song called Mutations from her latest album, Method Actor. And those tickets are still available if you are interested in seeing her on September 7th. The number to call is 804-649-9737. So we'll get into a little bit more music here. Actually, why don't we just start playing music that you picked out?
Sure.
But first, I want to properly introduce you to our audience. So if someone calls, actually, wait for the next chance for me to give away those tickets. Don't call now because we're going to be talking now, everybody. But I'll play another song later and give you another chance to call in for that. So now we're officially going to do our thing here, Alex.
Sounds great.
So, Alex, you're known to make... I got to turn the headphones up just a little bit. Okay, that's a little better. So you're known to audiences in Richmond and around the country now as Brookhouse. How did you start playing music, and where does the name Brookhouse come from?
Yeah, so Brookhouse is actually my middle name.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so not a lot of people necessarily expect that, but yeah, it's a family name.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know where it came from, other than the fact that it's my dad's name.
Yeah,
it's my great great grandfather's name, and before that, we don't really know. It kind of just appeared.
That's cool. So it's a family thing, and your middle name. So Brookhouse is the name of your musical project.
You go
by Brookhouse then,
not in
as
my
your
daily
stage
life.
Name. Yeah,
yeah, okay. I'm definitely using it as a stage name.
Cool. So I'll call you Alex during the interview then.
That works.
And we'll refer to your music and your music project as Brookhouse.
Okay.
So when did you first realize that you were a musical person?
It's a funny question because I never realized there was another option, I guess.
Wow.
I was always a musical little kid, just bopping around, doing goofy things. I was in choir starting from like sixth grade onwards. Like I was in choir from sixth grade to the end of college. So
yeah.
And that
someone just wrote an interview and a feature on you in Style. And you were talking about how, being in choir was special for several reasons. What's so special about singing in a choir to you?
Yeah, I think there's no feeling that can really replicate singing together with other people like that. There's a sense of unity and peace and togetherness that comes from it that I don't think really anything else
comes
can
close.
Replicate.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's cool.
So that was your early experiences were harmonizing with other singers and mm-hmm. In the choir. And then you went through your education and college, but you were always doing something musical on the side, right? Or did you wanted to be a music major? Is that right? Because I actually had a similar path. I started out as a music major, and then I was like, oh, that's not going to work for, you know, getting a job. But music never left me, you know. So
right.
was that similar for you? Like, you really had music on your mind from the very beginning, but had to find your way?
Yeah, very much so. I went into college thinking that maybe I'll be a music major. But a lot of the people in my life were like, you should probably look at something a little more practical.
I've heard that speech.
Yeah, and I was definitely the kind of person that listened to that, and so I did.
Yeah.
And I studied finance and psychology instead.
Yeah.
And like,
both
I'm so
very
glad,
useful things as well.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Like, I'm very glad that I got those experiences too.
Yeah. Doesn't mean you have to give up music at all, though.
Right, right. And so now I've kind of come full circle where the itch to play music and the itch for music to be a bigger part of my life has just kept growing and growing. And so now I'm finally giving into that and pursuing that.
Yeah. How did you make it from, like, tell me about the journey from maybe, I guess, bedroom or front porch musician to playing shows. Like, how did you end up playing shows with people and maybe recording eventually?
Oh yeah, it's a funny journey, because I think a lot of people started doing this way earlier in their lives than I did. When I was in college, my only musical outlet those days was the choir, which was also a huge commitment. I mean, we rehearsed for like 6 hours a week, and I had my, all my classes on top of that. I had, everything else going on, and so I didn't really make time for me making music or writing music or anything like that. Like, the idea of attempting to write music had barely even entered my mind.
Right.
So it wasn't until after college that I didn't have a proper musical outlet anymore. And I was still playing guitar and singing, you know, in my dorm rooms and all that kind of stuff. But after college, then I started playing again, but I was in D.C. and I had never really navigated a music scene. You know, I hadn't really done that growing up. Like, me and my friends had too much ADHD to ever sit down and actually make a band.
Yeah, make a band and make it happen.
Yeah. So,
but you got friends your age who are also playing music in D.C. I guess you knew some people that were already doing that, and you thought maybe.
At that point, no, not really.
You're just living in D.C. and had a guitar. Yeah. And
mostly my experience in D.C. was finding that musicians I knew in college were no longer playing music.
Yeah.
Like, people playing less music, because it was just like, oh, yeah, that guy with that beautiful voice, yeah, he works 80 hours a week.
Right. No time. Yeah.
Or, it was right, like, yeah. Yeah, it was not. And I'm sure there were pockets of D.C. that I just didn't find.
Yeah.
That had people that were more musically, who were prioritizing music more, I never really found it. But then I made a big change. I decided I wanted to join the Peace Corps after a couple years in D.C.
Yeah, tell me about that. What was your inspiration to, I mean, you wanted to help people, probably.
Yeah.
But how did you signed up and did you end up going?
Yeah, oh yeah.
On a trip with the Peace Corps, or?
Absolutely. Yeah, so I lived in Costa Rica with the Peace Corps. I was a community economic development volunteer, which ultimately, at the end of the day, that meant that I was a resource in this community to just do anything that I could to help anyone I could in any way that I could think of.
Wow.
And this was in like 2019 that this happened. And so I had a lot of reasons for doing that. I mean, I had spent a couple years in D.C. in kind of the corporate rat race, and I was like, I don't love this.
Yeah.
I think I want to try something else. And I'd been in D.C. for most of my life, that area, and that very particular mindset that it has. And I was like, I need to try something else. I need to
something
see
a little
how
more
other,
fulfilling and meaningful.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
a guy who actually followed his heart and his dreams.
At least for a moment.
Yeah, so Costa Rica, you were busy helping people, doing a lot of different things. And then what happened?
Well, I was there for about a year, and then the pandemic hit.
Right.
And that brought everybody back. The Peace Corps decided to evacuate all volunteers worldwide when that happened. And so March of 2020, basically we get a phone call one day that's just like, get on the next bus out of town. Which, as you can imagine, was pretty insane.
Right, yeah, because you've made those connections and relationships with people there, working with them. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really jarring and sad.
Yeah.
And then
you've got to, like,
sudden.
Come back to a feeling of, like, isolation with the pandemic that lasted a lot longer than any of us thought it would.
Right.
And like, a ellipsis, like an unfinished thing that you were doing there too.
Yes.
In Costa Rica.
Yeah, that's very true. It didn't really get to have a clean ending of any kind. I did go back in the last couple of years to wrap up some projects.
Wow, awesome.
Which was fun.
Yeah.
But it was a lot. And I feel like there's a lot of points here that I haven't totally explained, but
yeah, right.
When
you're not obligated to tell your entire life story in 20 minutes.
But fair enough.
I just want to touch on a few your inspiration points and how you ended up where you are now making music. I mean, was the pandemic a real creative, you know, incubation period for you?
Not really. So Costa Rica was.
Yeah.
It was really, after I decided I was going to join the Peace Corps, that's when I started to actually attempt to write songs. So there was an intermediate period where I moved from DC to Nashville for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Just to, once again, live in a different place, to experience what another place is like that doesn't have this DC mindset. And yeah. I was like, well, I love music. There's a lot of music there. I'm going to go check it out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I spent some time there, started experimenting with writing some songs, didn't really finish a song, but I was experimenting with it. And so then when I was in Costa Rica, one thing about the Peace Corps is, like, you do have a fair amount of free time.
Yeah.
'Cause you're generally in a small town where there's not a lot happening, and your job is very ambiguous. You don't have set hours. You don't have a lot of set responsibilities. So it can lead to a lot of downtime.
Right.
And so it was like, well, this is the perfect time for me to try songwriting. So
you have a guitar there with you?
Eventually. Yeah. I had to
get it shipped.
I had to track one down.
Oh,
no,
cool.
There was one in the country somewhere, but that
sure,
was a process.
Quite more than one guitar in Costa Rica. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you got a hold of a guitar, and do you write lyrics in a journal, or is that, how do you write music? I want to play one of your songs too, so people can hear it. Maybe.
Yeah.
Could we start with one of your songs before we get into your other selections?
That works.
Okay. All right. So yeah. No. How do you write? How do you write?
I'm all over the place. I really tend to, one, in terms of the music, it's just me on a guitar, typically just playing, and then my mind wanders, and then when my mind wanders, I start playing something new, and then I'm like, I like that, and then I remember that, and it kind of all comes together eventually.
Somehow.
Yeah, through repeating that process. But then on the lyric side, it's really just writing down my thoughts, where I'm like, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Let me put that in my big old document.
And then come back to it later.
Yeah. And so then when I have the music, then I kind of forget about the document. And then I'm just like, okay, what does this song feel like it's about?
Yeah.
And you use those things to kind of put things together.
Yeah, yeah. So there are little seeds that start growing, and then you might pay attention to one more than the other, but you come back to them eventually sometimes, and then they become a song. I guess, would another part of that be bringing these ideas to play with other musicians, or maybe form a whole structure around something? Like, you sounded amazing, by the way, at the Great Busk.
Thanks.
And that was the first time for me hearing you play live, and it just sounded so together and well thought out. Like, you have probably, these songs have probably gone through an evolution. Does playing with other people help with that, the writing process?
Yes, for sure. It's funny, I haven't really...
I guess you've got a couple different iterations of your band too, I think, right?
Yeah. So I kind of don't even... It's like there's kind of the bass song, and then everyone that I'm playing with live will kind of put their own spin on it. Because I tend to play with a lot of different people. Like, the lineup is different every time that I play a live show, and it's often even just different instrumentation.
Yeah.
Which is fun for me because... You know, and I think it's fun for the audience too, because they get a different take on the songs. You know,
every time.
One day, it's like one day it's a trumpet player or keys or sax or pedal steel, mandolin, fiddle. Like, there has been all of those things in terms of like a guest X factor on the songs.
Mm-hmm.
So they all bring their own flavor.
Yeah, cool. So one more question for the music nerd, though. When you get together with these people, how do you give them the notes? Like, this is what we're going to play tonight. You practice a couple times, or are you handing them a chord sheet and some lyrics? Or
generally handing them a chord sheet and lyrics.
Cool.
The songs are, I guess, they have their structure, and then I'm generally like, okay, there's like room in this section for us to jam and kind of improvise.
Yeah, cool. Well, okay, so what should we play? Let's see. I want to play a song by Brookhouse. We've got American Sounds.
And, let's play that one.
Yeah? All right. Awesome. Do you want to tell us a little bit about?
Yeah. Absolutely. So this one, we were talking about Costa Rica, and I think this one is probably a very emblematic of that time and that experience, because I was back visiting Costa Rica when the seed of this song first came to me, and I was talking to a friend of mine who married a Costa Rican, and he was talking about how sometimes, you know, in living in another culture, he experiences some challenges where, like, him and Costa Ricans don't totally see eye to eye on things, like it, and it's like very mundane things sometimes. It's like aspects of how to approach fixing a car, where like their approach to him was like absurd and his approach to them was absurd.
Yeah. And just cultural differences.
Yeah. 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 And so,
and being married to someone in that culture also, like he's got to make it work somehow.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So like he kind of feels that tension, and it was like, you know, something that he said was like, I'll never quite be one of them. Mm-hmm. And that really sums up American Sounds pretty well. It ultimately is a song about assimilation to a culture.
Yeah. And maybe compromise too.
Right. Right. Yeah. The need to compromise, the desire to assimilate, that's often there in the people that are going to the new culture, but it's just, you know, wanting to assimilate isn't even enough to be able to do it, because it's not something that's entirely in your control.
Yeah.
But if that's what's expected of you, then there's always going to be this tension. Mm-hmm. And you can also succeed too much and lose your former self. And so there really is kind of this double-edged sword.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, her friends might be like, why are you, you've changed since you married this American guy. Like, so neither culture really wants to completely assimilate either, because we all have our unique, beautiful differences. And I mean, America to me, oftentimes when used metaphorically, represents colonialism, Western consumerism, all those things. But we're just people. We're all just people. And America is beautiful because we've all compromised and assimilated with each other and learned to speak different, multiple languages even in one country. It's interesting. Well, let's hear your song without me putting any spin on it, because you've explained some really cool things there. And let's just let people take a listen. You're listening to WIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. This is If Music Could Talk. And here's Brookhouse with American Sounds.
One of them.
Bookhouse with American Sounds here on At Musica Talk in on WRIR. And I'm here with Alex Brookhouse, a.k.a. Brookhouse. And that was one of two singles that you got out right now. Is that right?
Yep.
And you've been recording somewhere in Richmond. Tell us about that. Yeah. Your recording.
So I've been recording at Space Bomb here in Carytown, and that's been a new process. It's something that I'm doing for the first time. So
yeah, did you walk up to Space Bomb, knock on the door, and say, or did someone from Space Bomb approach you?
I didn't walk up connection. And knock on the door, but they're very accessible. You can go on their website and see exactly when they're free and sign up and reserve a spot. So yeah. I just went ahead and did that.
Awesome. Well, I know they do good work. I first heard of them, and probably a little late to the game, but when I first bought Angelica Garcia's album.
Oh, cool.
She did that one there. And, man, they put out so many awesome things. We love playing local music here, and it's always cool to hear. So you played a concert last night here in Richmond. Tell me about that.
Sure. Yeah, so that was at the Bellwether Garage Churchill, which is just a really fun, basically kind of neighborhood event that they do once a month in the warm months, where they have a concert in someone's motorcycle garage.
Yeah, I read a little story about the people who bought that, and they were like, and we get the garage too, we're totally going to do something with it. And they ended up doing this, which is so cool.
Yeah.
But you said that was one of the biggest shows you've ever done? Like, hundreds of people were there?
Yeah, it was a pretty big crowd. The weather was on our side. It was very nice. There were probably about 300 people there.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Well, a testament to your talent, too. I mean, you kept them there, and probably a lot of people came home thinking, how do I get some Brookhouse music? So what can we expect in the future from, as far as shows and new releases?
Yeah, so there's a good amount of shows that we have coming up in Richmond and in a few other towns. But
should we let's start by announcing it's brookhouse.music on Instagram, right? That's right. Where I see you announce a lot of stuff. So yep. Go ahead.
So this coming Saturday, playing at Mainline. Okay. So that's what, the 30th of August?
Right, yep.
And then on the 4th of September, playing at Lewis Ginter for their Flowers After Five.
Cool.
Series.
Yeah.
So that's a Thursday, I believe.
All right. Hopefully the nice weather continues. This is a beautiful time of year for outdoor shows.
Yeah.
And then you were telling me before we went on the air that you've got all kinds of music ready to be released, and you're just, it'll be trickling out as you finish. Tell me about that. Are you mastering stuff? Are you still working on stuff, or is most of it finished?
There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff in different stages of development. So there's a 5-song EP that's going to come out in November, on November 7th, and that's also going to be called American Sounds.
Yeah, cool.
And so the two singles that are out will be on that EP, and it's kind of more or less a concept EP, I guess, around just my family's relationship to Cuba and...
Oh, I didn't ask you anything about your family. Do you want to tell a little bit about your background, or does it link into the story of your music in any way? How does it?
Yeah, I would definitely say it does, because I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for them,
Yeah.
And so my mom was born in Cuba. She came to the U.S. when she was a year old, and the family was fleeing the dictatorship in Cuba, and so they were very lucky in that when they came to the U.S., they had a lot of support. Cubans in those days got a lot of preferential treatment in terms of being fast-tracked for things like seeking political asylum, to be refugees, and ultimately to get residency and to get work visas and become citizens. So
yeah, lucky.
As far as they, it's not easy to immigrate from anywhere. Right. But in terms of like the hurdles that the system puts in your place, they probably had
fewer than others.
Especially in the modern day.
Refugees, which that word has a meaning, you know.
Yes.
Coming from a place where they weren't safe and yeah.
Right. Because they actually first went to Mexico. They basically told the Cuban government they were going on vacation to Mexico and then just never came back.
Wow.
And so they were in Mexico, and when they were there, they applied for political asylum in the U.S., and then they came to the U.S.
Yeah. So have you explored, I'm sure you've explored the sounds of Cuba. There's so much amazing music over the years, many traditions.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. As you can imagine, we were playing some of that in my house growing up.
Yeah.
But my mom, you know, also coming to the U.S. when she was a year old, and my dad being a lifelong Virginian and, you know, being someone whose family's been here for generations.
Yeah.
I got this diluted experience of Cubanness, of Latinness.
Yeah. It's a very American experience, though, having, you know, one family's from one place, one from another, and totally different experiences coming together. And
exactly.
You're getting both of those things as a child.
Exactly. It's funny because you get a good grasp on both, but you don't get the entirety of either one, and so you're not really wholly the Latin person. You're not wholly the like all American person. Like
yeah.
I have never really felt like either of those things, and it's when I'm around when I get to be seen as both of those things, that is when I really feel seen.
Yeah. Right. And not one or the other, or, you know, yeah. And a lot of that, some of that is the way our society is set up, and the way our, you know, political structure and social economic classes and all those things. But these days, you know, the world has changed a lot in the past few years. And I would say even the world's kind of turned on its head. How important is music to you for being, you know, for I guess maybe actualizing your identity that is unique in its own way, but also for addressing some of the social issues that you're seeing in your life?
Yeah, I think music's effect can honestly not be understated because it ultimately we are all very influenceable psychologically, and like the thing that most influences us is any message that gets repeated.
Yeah.
You know, and so a piece of recorded music is like the purest form of that, because it's like you're getting the exact same message every time.
Yeah.
If you're understanding all the lyrics. I mean, there's a lot to be said about artistic intent and all of that, but
well, I feel when I heard a whole set of your music, I was thinking, you know, there's some messages in here, and this isn't just party music, but it's not like hit you over the head. It's like if you listen to what I'm saying, you might hear something going on there, and I appreciate that. It's subtle, but it's not too subtle. You got some things going on in your lyrics that I think are important messages for people. I don't want to put you in a box or put a bunch of, you know, great job stickers on your music, but there's a lot going on. I think people, if people out there listening will be able to hear you live, they'll hear what I'm talking about. But so you got a whole set of music. Let's play some music that influenced you over the years. You put this beautiful set list together called Melting Pot. And I see the first track here is by Femina and a song called When Viaje. Tell me about this song and this artist. Do you know much? If you don't know much, it's cool. You can just say pass. Let's just play it.
I'm hardly a scholar, but I'll say that there's a lot of really cool music coming out of Latin America that is blending so many different traditions these days, and I think that they're a great example of that.
Cool. Okay, here's Femina with Buen Viaje from their album Tres Pasa.
Thank you. las cosas que me sorprendían. Hoy en día ninguna me deslumbra de verdad. Los fantasmas que intento atrapar se me escabullen en los brazos. Tendría que aceptar mi realidad o pedirle a los astros que tengan piedad. Aquí estoy trabajando, no pierdo la dignidad. Con este hambre voraz queriendo siempre más y más, creyendo que algún día iba a poder saciar, fantaseando que en algún momento de la vida me crecerían alas para poder volar. Y a quien no le falta el aliento, en este aposento de frivolidades hay que estar atento, para no pasarse de ingenuidades. ¿Quién le dijo que él y yo éramos rivales? Más bien amantes, correteamos por los valles, incesantes. Creímos ser como la encina y el roble, permanecer unidos nos haría inmortales y así viví. Un amor de eternidades, y así viví. Nuestro amor de eternidades. No quisiera desaparecer antes de mojarme otra vez los pies en la luna. No quisiera desaparecer antes de mojarme otra vez los pies en la luna. Sabio, sabiendo que lo lograrías, sabía algo que no sabías. Vía a vía, se te pasó el tranvía. Otra vez estás luchando contra la deriva. Quisiera desenmascarar al enmascarado, aquel que de sucede a ver el mundo conquistado. Se ha colocado una careta y no protesta, patea a quien sea con tal de alcanzar su meta. Se me está haciendo difícil con usted interactuar, trastabilla su lengüeta cada vez que intenta hablar. ¿Quién le dijo que él y yo éramos rivales? Más bien amantes, correteamos por los valles, incesantes. Creímos ser como la encina y el roble, permanecer unidos nos haría inmortales. Y así viví, un amor de eternidades. Y así viví, nuestro amor de eternidades. No quisiera desaparecer antes de mojarme otra vez los pies en la luna. No quisiera desaparecer en la luna. No quisiera desaparecer antes de mojarme otra vez los pies en la luna. No quisiera desaparecer antes de mojarme otra vez los pies en la luna.
Awesome. First pick by Alex here, Brookhouse. Your influences or songs that you'd like people to hear tonight, at least. What do we have next here? It's,
Next up is Before the Sun by Gregory Alan Isakov.
Cool. Let's play that. And you can check the playlist at WIR.org.
Devil's
sun comes up.
We just hear there.
That was Despedida by Que Te Calles, which is a Spanish band. And if you don't speak Spanish, their band name literally means shut up, which is pretty awesome.
Cool. And I'm loving this playlist so far. This is like the best part of having a guest is just hearing all the music that you have picked. And we heard Gregory Alan Isakoff before that, Before the Sun. And you put this set list together. I don't know how long it took you, but you were saying that there's some similarities and some, you know, links between the styles. But it's also very diverse.
Yeah, I tend to draw from a lot of different traditions, and that means that when I'm adding songs to my personal playlist, it ends up as this big jumble. But it makes me realize that there's a lot of similarities across vastly different genres. And so, like, the beginning of this playlist is like acoustic music from like all of these different places.
Yeah.
And I think it really emphasizes the fact that they have a lot in common.
Yeah.
While also having a lot that's different. And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's perfect for this show because that goes with the theme, you know, how music is really, music is just something that connects all of us. And it's easy to carry with you on the road. Music and food, things that get shared all over the world between humans. So we'll continue playing this beautiful mix of yours. Up next is the Punch Brothers with My Oh My.
That's right.
Awesome. Thanks for being here, Alex.
Oh,
You're listening to WIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. I'm in here. This is Music Talk, and I'm in the studio here with Alex, a.k.a. Brookhouse, listening to your amazing set list. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
This is really fun.
It is fun. I love talking about music, and especially with a musician as talented as you. So we just heard, who is that? The Punch Brothers.
Yes.
And My Oh My was the name of that song. Beautiful harmonies, beautiful instrumentation there. Up next, I think you have, what's the next song there?
The next song is Swing de Campo Grande by Novos Baianos, which awesome. I might be mangling those names because I don't speak Portuguese.
That's okay.
But I do love this song.
Did your best. All right, let's hear it.
Minha carne é de carnaval, meu coração é igual. Minha carne é de...